I turned around and saw it all. Saw a crack go from basically one side to the other, whole opposite side of the mountain. And it was just like a river falling down at that point.
A second fatality caused by the Haines avalanche. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. An avalanche that struck a group of six heli skiers outside of Haines earlier this week has claimed the life of a second person. Nikolai Dodov of Truckee, California, was taken off life support Wednesday afternoon at Harborview Hospital in Seattle. He was 26 years old. Nick, as his friends called him, was one of two people caught in an avalanche skiers called Massive that occurred on a mountain ridge about 20 air miles northwest of Haines, Alaska, Tuesday morning. He was a client on a guided trip that used a helicopter to access the backcountry ski runs. Their guide, 35-year-old Robert Lieberman, died Tuesday at the scene. Both men were recovered by fellow skiers and snowboarders, including client Brandon Corbett, using avalanche beacons.
That probably helped us a little bit, but it was just the amount of time it took. You know, it was just too hard to hike straight uphill in snow, and we were the only ones in the position to be able to get there. So it took a long time. Too much time. That's probably the hardest thing for us to deal with, is just knowing how long it took to get there and to find them and to dig. Pretty haunting.
34-year-old Corbett lost two friends in the accident. He was on the same run as Nick and Rob and had just snowboarded down the mountain to a safe spot when the avalanche broke.
I was the first one down. I stopped on a high point and two other riders followed me my path down and stopped behind me. And then when I turned around and looked up, I heard that our fourth rider was dropping in, and I didn't know if it was Nick or if it was one of the other guys. And I turned around and just saw it all. Saw a crack go from basically one side to the other, whole opposite side of the mountain, and it was just like a river falling down at that point.
Skiers later described a six-foot-deep crown separating the huge slab of snow from the mountain. Corbett and the rest of his six-person group had experienced snowboarding in avalanche conditions, but he says none of them had ever seen anything like this.
I saw Rob get carried over, some pretty good exposure. And then it kind of flowed down. I was on a spine, and it kind of flowed down on both sides of us. And then we started hiking, like mad. That was probably the most frustrating thing, was to hike in waist-deep snow, straight uphill, and knowing somebody's clock is ticking.
Both Nick and Rob were buried at least 7 feet under the debris. After locating and recovering them, rescuers immediately performed CPR and transported the two victims to the Haines Clinic, 33 road miles away, by helicopter and by ambulance.
You know, right when I really... got a probe strike, or we found somebody, was when the helicopter landed with a lot of guides, and there was probably, I don't know how many people they were digging at that point, but it took a long time. They were deep.
The group of six included four childhood friends who grew up snowboarding in the mountains around California's Lake Tahoe area. Corbett has heli-skied before, including an earlier trip to Haines 3 winters ago. It was Dodov's first heli-ski trip.
He was just, you know, got incredible energy, incredible smile. It was really positive, and you know, he loved the mountains. He loved snowboarding, and you know, the day before, we had all pretty much had the day of our lives.
Lieberman, who was guiding for Alaska heli skiing, was from Telluride, Colorado. He wrote in his company profile that skiing has been a deep-rooted love since early childhood, and that Alaska has always been the Mecca after his first trip to the state in 2005.
Rob was one of the big reasons why we came back here. Because he's just an incredible guide, just real positive, really knowledgeable, and just the reason why we wanted to come back here. And we've had other heli skiing experiences, but we just had a really good experience with him and really got to know him pretty well. So we put in our request for him about 6 months in advance and came back.
Guides for the company, as noted on their website, are professionally trained and certified and qualify as guides under the requirements set by the Alaska Helicopter Skiing Association. The company is working to survey the scene of the accident and plans to release a statement. They require each of their clients to take a formal helicopter safety briefing and attend backcountry safety school, which covers the use of standard avalanche safety equipment, including the avalanche transceivers used in the rescue. According to their website, the company is a member of the Alaska Helicopter Skiing Association, which sets safety standards for the state's helicopter skiing. The company also coordinates with the Southeast Alaska Avalanche Center for avalanche forecasting. No other injuries occurred in the incident, and all skiers are now accounted for. Although the lower 48 has experienced a relatively fatal avalanche season this year, these are the first avalanche-caused deaths in Alaska this winter.
I don't know. We thought it was going to be a pretty mellow day. In Rob's words, he called it luxury powder because the visibility and the conditions weren't going to allow us to get to back into the steeps and the lot more difficult terrain that we had ridden the day before. Monday was probably one of the best days any of us have ever had in our lives, including our guide Rob. You know, in his 20 years, he said it was one of the best days of his life.
When the brighter sunshine is so warm, it makes you turn and face it. And longer evenings get you outside more, or when you actually crave the smell of dirt again. All proof that the arrival of spring is one strong force of nature. So strong, in fact, it makes plants grow. It's no coincidence the Greater Lynn Canal Garden Conference is this weekend. Almost 3 days of workshops, discussions, and presentations are open to anyone interested in growing in the Northern Panhandle, whether or not you're a pansy murderer or a gardening god.
It's a learning process. I mean, if you're not killing plants, you're not gardening.
Ed Bajarski has been gardening since his childhood in Upper Michigan and has kept up ever since he and his wife moved to Southeast Alaska in 1983.
Gardened in my parents' garden. I still didn't like hoeing the corn and pulling weeds back then. Still don't like pulling weeds, but it's a task we have to do.
Ed started a landscaping business in Southeast, is a master gardener, and now helps teach the classes. In Haines, he's involved in a gardening project at the site of a historic farm at 18 Mile on the Haines Highway. He's helping organize the garden conference taking place at the Chilcat Center, Haines School, and Sheldon Museum Friday through Sunday. It brings local and outside gardening experts together for the kickoff of the local growing season. Bajarski says local knowledge is the key to growing in Southeast Alaska.
First, all our speakers are from Alaska. I suppose that makes a big difference. We love to have outside speakers come in and talk about plants that we dream of growing, but just all the different towns I've gardened in Southeast are different. Different soils, different climates, even in different parts of Haines, from Mud Bay to out the road to up on the hillside, are a wide range of different conditions for growing. I mean, even just from one person's backyard to your front yard is going to be different. A plant will grow well there and not in your place.
The conference starts on Friday with an evening talk by local farmer Bob Henderson at 7 p.m. and by donation at the Chilcat Center for the Arts. Henderson will present the agricultural history of the Chilcat Valley.
I know he is the guy who has grown and gardened for a long time successfully in Haines.
Saturday's events start at 9 a.m. at the Haines School with a presentation by Skagway's Charlotte Jewell. She's an award-winning gardener of flowers and herbs who now maintains a 3.5-acre show garden in Skagway. It's called Jewell Gardens, and besides being a popular destination for tourists, it also has a small restaurant and a community-supported agriculture project with 30 members.
Saturday morning, Charlotte Jewell is coming over from Skagway to talk about Skagway, the Garden City. And lots of beautiful pictures to show what can be grown. She does have her own business over there and does garden tours, among other things. And then she's going to be doing a workshop on growing herbs and edible flowers.
Following that presentation, Cooperative Extension's Darren Snyder will talk about homestead food production, focusing on harvesting and keeping food for feeding a family here. Then George Campbell has the floor.
He's grew up in Haines. He's kind of my informal landscaping partner down here. He's the dirt guy. I'm the plant guy. And so he's going to talk about landscape pre-planning. So looking at a yard whether you're redoing a yard or starting brand new from a bare pallet, and trying to plan ahead, even though it may be a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, talk about drainage, which is all important around here, and talk about getting into the future landscaping areas, planning for access.
After lunch, which is included with the $30 ticket for Saturday's presentations, Bajarski will talk about crops that do exceptionally well in the Northern Panhandle, particularly garlic and potatoes.
Give people some hints and tips, maybe to help them be a little more successful, and talk about varieties and why we grow some of these things, how we grow them to do better.
Then Jeff Smink, a soil and fertilizer expert from the Matsu Valley, will cover high tunnels and gardening. Even more workshops bring in Haynes' Rob Goldberg to talk about his success with growing fruit trees in Haynes, and James David Sneed, the seed guy.
Top is the real skookum on seed packets and catalogs, and really is about interpreting what you read in those catalogs. The catalogs always look wonderful. I mean, every seed packet, seed variety is the best. Most tasty, most colorful, most wonderful, but when you read it, you've got to weed out the fluff from the real important information that's in there, so you hopefully start with the right type and variety that'll improve your odds for success.
The ticket price also includes a panel discussion on the political and economic realities of food. They'll also have booths at the conference with free and for sale items. Tickets are at the Babbling Book in Haynes and Jewel Gardens in Skagway. The Greater Lynn Canal Garden Conference starts March 16th with a 7 p.m. talk at the Chilcat Center, then continues all day Saturday at the Haynes School, and ends with a hands-on pruning workshop at the Sheldon Museum on Sunday at 11 a.m. More information is at seakmg.org or through our website.
That's what the whole conference is really about, is having more success gardening in northern southeast Alaska.
For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.